I'm Shalina Tobin, aka Posh Not Girl, and today I'm joined by one of the most recognisable faces on our TV screens, the wonderful chef Monica Galletti. Having spent the formative part of her career at the famous Le Gavroche restaurant, both in London and Mauritius, Monica became a household name when she joined the BBC in 2008 and has appeared regularly as a judge on MasterChef The Professionals, as well as many other hospitality programs. In addition to all of that, she runs the fabulous Mary restaurant in London. Monica, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Shalina. But you know, keeping busy as much as we can, like everyone else.
So you've got such an international composition. You're born in Samoa, you're raised in New Zealand, married to a Frenchman and living in London. Where do you call home?
Home for us as a family is here in the UK. I've been here almost 22 years now. But then home is also New Zealand, where a majority of my family are. Home is also Samoa for me, you know, where I was always have that connection. It was where I was born, but where we're settled at the moment, it's here in the UK, it's London.
And how do you end up in London all the way from New Zealand?
My parents moved to New Zealand when I was sort of like 8 years old, for the want of a better life for us kids. From there, as in our culture, you know, the girls were always sort of taught to start cooking at a very young age. So I've always had a natural love of being in the kitchen. And then started cooking straight after school in New Zealand. And I've been cooking for about, I'd say maybe 6-7 years. And I'd always wanted to travel, I think I was 21 when I first came to London and just fell in love with it, you know, and how easy it is to access Europe. The food scene sort of growing back then. And so I went home, saved some money, and came back when I was 23. A few years ago now. And, you know, I was only meant to come over for a year. And I'm still here. And it's just been such an amazing journey throughout the people that I've met in the industry and outside of that. You know, we have no family here, my husband and I, but our dearest and nearest friends, they are the family that we have.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And I read that that Mr. Small, your former lecturer at Hospitality College, he had a big influence on your decision to come to London.
He was, he Dennis Small, you know, I remember him saying, you know, if you're serious about becoming a chef, you need to leave New Zealand and go and travel and start in London. And I always remembered that, and I just thought, okay, that's where I'm going to start from and we see what happens. Yeah. Still here.
Well, it's a great place for opportunity, isn't it? There's so many foreign chefs that actually love London. It's, you know, so multicultural and great place to work.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I do love about it. You know, the diversity of the food scene we have here is just so wonderful. On the same street, you can have, you know, a bar place to sushi to, you know, you get a high end fine dining in one, and you get sort of African cuisine around the corner. You've got street food down one road. I just love how mixed it is and that, you know, you can try just about anything within a block.
Yeah, absolutely. But it must have been really hard for you to leave your friends and family in New Zealand and making a career in the UK.
Yeah, you know, but I think it just goes hand in hand with the selfish part of my industry that, you know, you sort of sacrifice that friends and family, and you always think you're going to get back to it, you know, for the hours and the things that we do in the hospitality industry. But I just never planned on being away this long from them. You know, I thought I was just leaving for a year at the most too, yeah. But it's become home. So I do get very homesick. I do miss them a lot. Thank goodness we have things like this where we can Zoom call and see everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I read that you have a favorite piece of art, which is by a New Zealand artist, which is a cup full of coconut milk leaking out of it and a silver leaf growing from that and signifying slowly leaking away out of the culture, but at the same time, something new is flourishing. And I thought that was such a powerful analogy.
I know, and I think a lot of us from different cultures can relate to that when we've sort of our families have moved, our parents have taken us to different countries, isn't it? Mm. And it's sort of like you're sort of losing some of who you were because they've taken you out of that cultural atmosphere, but at the same time, something new is growing from it, but you're not losing it completely, you know? And I thought it was just the most beautiful way to look at life when we leave our home countries.
Yeah. And I mean, talking about Samoa, I mean, in the Indian culture, aunties are like second mothers. Is that what it was like for you growing up as a kid in Samoa?
Absolutely, you know, very much. And even, you know, still now in our culture, you know, aunties, you they're like your moms, you know, they have the right to smack you if being naughty. You know, so you go, when you come from a really big family, that's a lot of sore bums.
So who was it that really sparked the love for cooking in you?
You know, my mum always taught us in the kitchen, but she always made it fun. I remember her teaching me to make my first ragu, you know, and mum just loved exploring food and pâtés, you know, which was just so different from the food that the Samoan culture is based on. So I think she really just got my palate going on appreciating, you know, the food that was so different from what we grew up on. And it's just that fun side of being in the kitchen with her is what I remember.
Yeah. And so moving on from that, you started at Le Gavroche in 1999, and after several years as sous chef, you went on to become head chef at Le Gavroche in Mauritius. How amazing was that?
Well, you know, when my journey as a young chef, you know, starting at the Gavroche with Michelle was all about learning. You know, I had no idea what was going to happen, you know, so many years down the line. I just knew I wanted to do well and the best that I could whilst I was there. And I just had this hunger and this thirst for, you know, learning, you know, and that kitchen was such a fabulous atmosphere where they just push you to be competitive and to be as good as you are, as you can be, yet at the same time, you know, working with the most amazing ingredients, you know, and Michelle's family and the knowledge they have, you know, they don't hold back, they share it, and I just love sort of taking it all on board. It was the best, you know, schooling I could have had as a young chef. And then of course from there, my husband and I went on to run Gavroche de Tropiques in Mauritius for a year or so. And then when we came back, you know, we were planning doing our own thing, but we ended up pregnant. So that took sort of a backseater for a good few years until we were ready.
Well, you spent the main part of your career within the Roux family. And do you consider that they have had the biggest impact on your career?
Absolutely. You know, just the way that they teach from the simplest things that you wouldn't notice, you know, the detail, the respect for where you work, you know, not and the ingredients to how you work and for the people that you work with. And Michelle's eye for detail is just frightening. You know, he picks out everything. And for me, it's been just the best schooling to be able to pick some of that up and take some of that away with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you have one memorable encounter with Michelle that you can share with us?
Yeah, you know, there's been many. There's been so many. But I think, you know, it was when he pulled me into the office one of many times to promote me onto the next section, you know, to start cooking the meat section, which was the first time a woman had gone to cook on the meat section, you know, and the way Michelle does it, he just makes it so, you know, it's just such a natural thing. He's like, you know, hey, Kiwi, right, so starting next week, you're going onto the meat, you know. Yeah. And for me, that was a huge thing to be able to do. Very proud, very stressful as well at the same time, you know. But yeah, that just went on to a different time of when it was difficult in the kitchen, you know, to learn that and to try and be as good as the guys that cook on it, you know, is always been the challenge that I rise to.
And Le Gavroche, it's had a big influence on your personal life as well. That's where you met David, your husband. And even though I actually read that you fancied his friend Jerome initially.
Wow, you know a lot. David was a sommelier there when we met, so yeah, you know, it means a lot to the Gavroche. They're family to us.
Yeah, I saw those really fun video of the ice bucket challenge, and you went in the
My gosh, that's going back a while. Yeah,
that was absolutely brilliant, a lot of fun, and it did feel like you guys are like family.
Yeah, you know, we can go, you know, weeks or months without talking, and then, you know, we just start texting out of the blue, you know, with Michelle and the family, you know, and it's just always good to touch base, making sure everyone's doing okay, especially now in the current climate as well.
Of course, which we will talk about in a bit. I just wanted to talk about your inspiration. So who, I know the Roux family has been a massive inspiration. Who else inspires you from the industry today?
I have, you know, so many colleagues in the industry that I think, you know, just set the standards for all chefs to look up to. You know, I think Sat is amazing. Michael Caine himself is amazing chef, you know. I think Nevis, you know, she's a great friend and such a great chef as well. You know, Rachel Humphrey from the Gavroche, we've been friends, you know, for over 20 years now, you know, and she's held the helm of that place together for so long. You know, these really strong women, Claire Smith as well, is someone else that I think is amazing. I would like to see more of us coloured women sort of, you know, coming to the forefront in my industry though.
That's a really interesting topic, actually. I mean, if we look at Asian women as an example, traditionally they're taught how to cook and told that raising a family was more important than having a career. But I think things have really changed over the years, and I'm starting to see more Asian women in the industry. But you're right, I'm totally on your page. And I think that you're actually a great example to show that it can be done and done well. And so television has become a really big part of your life. In 2008, that's when you joined the BBC. Had you always wanted to do that kind of work, or was it just completely by chance?
Completely by chance. No, I'd never ever planned to do television. It was all about being a chef, and that was the end goal for me. And then television sort of came along, and I was only meant to do 15 minutes of it for Michelle. And the BBC really liked it, and they grew my role from there, you know, and I think this is what, 12 years later, you know, but I say television, I've done a bit of it, but, you know, it's I only do what I believe in. I've been offered so many crazy roles in television, and I've just never thought it was necessary to just say yes to everything and show up on every channel. MasterChef Professionals is about an industry that I believe in, you know, and I love the nurturing and the meeting of the new talent. The hotel series I do with Giles, you know, that's a love that I have for travel, you know, and it takes me a bit more out of the kitchen, and I'm meeting all these cultures which I love learning about, and it's so different, and their styles of food. So, you know, yeah, I do a bit of television, but I've always been very cautious of what type of television I do. You know, I don't think it's necessary to say yes to everything that's offered to you, because I mean, it dilutes who you are and your values.
Yeah, and you're so good at it. I mean, amazing hotels, what a brilliant show. I love it. So the professionals, you built quite a reputation as a scary moniker. Is that just a facade for the show, or would you say it's a true reflection of your character in the kitchen?
It is, really. You've got it right, you know, Shalina. It's when I am in the kitchen, when you do have the chef's jacket on, there's certain points, you know, when you need to be serious. I have a lot of fun with my team. You know, I'm always joking around and having a good time and checking in on everyone. I know what's going on with every member of my team, but they also know when not to cross the line with me or to try and blag it, or you know, And there's one thing I can't stand is lying, you know. So, you know, there's one thing I say on my team, I'd rather you're just honest from the beginning and we can fix any problem, as in pretending it wasn't you or trying to get away with it, you know. So my team know that not to cross the line, and if they do, there will be consequences. Otherwise, we do have a lot of fun.
Well, I can tell you've got such a great sense of humor as well. But I mean, I happen to know that you beat Penny Malloroy in a charity boxing match in 2012.
And that was again another mad thing that Michelle signed me up for.
I won,
but you know, it was just, I'm very competitive, you know, and if I go to do something, I've got to do it properly. So I think I took three different boxing trainers. One of them was ex-Olympian, you know, and just went full out. But Michelle was meant to do that, but he had something to do with his retina. Anyway, he had some excuse, and I ended up. you know, and yeah, it was just something else to do boxing, and it was great for fitness, but I just found, like, even something like that, I couldn't hit her until she hit me first, you know. I just wouldn't hit her. I don't see why I need to hit someone, you know, who hasn't done anything to me. Yeah. So for the first sort of minute or so, I had to let her hit me first, you know, just before I could do anything. You know, it's just odd for me, you know, unless you're defending yourself, which was how I saw it. Yeah. And I just couldn't throw the first punch. Yeah.
I think I'd be totally on your page. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's not a natural.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's not, you know, for me, natural thing just to get in the ring and start punching the lights out of someone, you know. I enjoyed the fitness challenge of it. And then, of course, once she did hit me, I had to, you know, sort of defend myself.
Yeah. Well, it's a fun thing to do for charity. I've never heard of anything like that for charity. Are there other charities that you support?
You know, there's been quite a few. I used to work with a charity to do with blind children here, initially their site, but that's all changed now. And I'm now currently sort of in between signing up with an animal charity that's very dear to me, you know, so we're just going through the process of sorting that out. But otherwise, you know, we're always doing our bits for charities here.
Yeah, of course. So moving on from that, you went on to do Amazing Hotels with Giles Corran. That's actually, like I said, it's one of my favourite TV programmes. And around the same time, you actually opened your own restaurant, Mare, with your husband, David. How did you manage the balance of travel, a new restaurant, family life, TV work? It's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was. And you know, I try not to sign up to things unless I can dedicate to it 100%. But it sort of happened that the restaurant, we were meant to open Mary pre-Christmas 2016, and it didn't happen. It got delayed until the following year, 2017. And that was when the hotel's producers approached me. So it was managed, you know, so it actually worked out that I could film with Giles before the restaurant opened. So traveling, you know, so it wasn't easy. I always found it very difficult to be away for more than a number of days from my daughter as well. You know, so it was something to get used to. Yeah. And then of course, once the restaurant opened, it just became crazy, you know, fitting everything in. So I work very hard when I'm at the restaurant, making sure I have a strong team all the time, especially if I know I'm not going to be here for a few days. I make sure I've got enough people to cover those shifts, you know, front of house and back of house. And I am very much a control freak. So it's just so tough because, you know, when I'm filming, all I can think of what's happening back at the restaurant, you know, constantly sort of WhatsApping my team, you know, checking in and all that. And then, of course, you know, making sure that my daughter's okay and calling back with her. And it's, I think with my husband, we try and balance the restaurant and our family between us. And because we don't have family here, we have missed that support, you know. So it's been nice that his parents have now started coming over a few weeks. Well, they were until COVID. you know, they come over for a few weeks and it was nice that Amaze got a few weeks with them if we were busy at the restaurant.
Right. Well, you're such an inspiration just to, you know, you just prove that it is all possible and you can actually accomplish and achieve everything that you want to do. You've got so much passion and drive in you that, you know, you're just doing it all and you make it look effortless.
Oh, thank you. It doesn't feel effortless. I mean, God, those eyes look terrible. But you know, I think it's like anything, as a mom, you know, we're always going to feel guilty of not giving enough to our babies, our kids. You know, she says, don't call her baby anymore because she's 14.
They'll always be your babies, right?
I know. They're always our babies, aren't they? I think we're always going to have that parent guilt of not being there enough and you know, doing enough with them and for them. So I try and make the most of it when I am home. The restaurant, you know, this is the real job for me. Television and that, you know, will come and go at some point, but this is what I do is being a chef, you know, and looking after my team and making sure we survive COVID at the moment is the most important thing for us right now, is trying to get everyone over that line and just want to wake up in 2021 like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about COVID. I mean, we're still in a very difficult situation with the threat of it. How is the restaurant doing?
You know, touch wood, so far, so good. You know, we came back on the 1st of September, and it was great, and people were just so happy to be out. You know, we were sort of just finding our rhythm, and it was so wonderful to be back with my team. And then, of course, we were told, you know, the tables limits were now down to 6. So we lost a lot of the big reservations we had from companies for Christmas, right. Due to that. And the area we're in, majority of business, I believe, won't be back till spring, you know. So we've just had to adjust and sort of find our way through it. So that was going well. And then, of course, we got hit with the 10 p.m. curfew. You know, so we've had to adjust again, you know, and now we're down to one sitting, which means, you know, we're running at 50-60% capacity to what we were, you know, Shalina. So it is very much just about surviving. I fear the day that they do close us again, because it would mean having to lay people off, and that's the one thing I'm fighting against right now. Like many of the, you know, restaurateurs out there, you know, the business is out the window. It's just about surviving and making sure that my people are going to make it through, you know, because just the thought of them not being able to pay their rent, buy food, you know, some of them just had babies. You know, I'm responsible for that. That is my responsibility is what I feel. So I'm just hoping that, you know, things keep improving. You need to stay positive. I feel it's about keeping my team spirit going, and hope, you know, that things will improve. It can't possibly get any worse, you know, and 2021, you know, we move on, we move forward, and just holding on and making sure that my team, you know, make it through with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have a fantastic team there. My husband and I mentioned we visited recently. And I mean, the space is so beautiful. You've designed it with, so, you know, the all the natural light that comes in. It looks amazing. You must have got some design ideas from amazing hotels, all of those wonderful.
It was just something that was very personal to me. It's like creating your own home, you know, and how you'd want to do that. And I'm a huge fan of natural light. Yeah. So that was important to me. You know, there's little touches throughout the restaurant, you know, symbolizing where my roots and Samoa and New Zealand, and also a bit of David's, you know, within the colors. And then, of course, with the wine cases that we have on there, yeah. You know, but it would just be a building if I didn't have my team. Yeah. You know, it wouldn't have a soul if my team, my people didn't do the magic that they bring into this every day. Yeah. You know, so it's so important to, you know, make sure that they're happy in what they do. Yeah. You know, because I think that's just the best way to bring the best out of your people, if they're happy in their workplace and they love what they do. Yeah. You know, and yeah, so far so good. It could be better, but you know, we'll get there.
Well, I don't know how much better it could be. I was absolutely blown away and love my experience there. But you talk about soul. So let's talk about the name of the restaurant, Mary. What does the name Mary mean to you?
Well, Mary is my mom's name. It's about M-E-I-E in Samoan. I you know, it was something I'd always planned to do, was to open a restaurant as a young chef. And my mom was my biggest supporter, you know, drove me to my first chef's job interview, to, you know, was there when I came out of cooking competitions, you know, would pick me up if I had finished, you know, a shift at, you know, midnight at one of the hotels, you know, and it was just cheered me on and believed in me so much, gave me the confidence to travel and leave her, you know, in New Zealand. And I sort of felt, you know, it was a nice ode to her that, you know, she never got to see what I did, you know, and I'd left her to achieve all this and she didn't get to see it. So it was the best way that, you know, could carry on her memory and people know a bit of her, you know, through this. Yeah. That's what it means to me.
Oh, what an amazing dedication to your mum. So what is the ethos of the restaurant?
You know, David and I together got almost 50 years experience put together in this industry, you know, and there's so much that we love and we believe in. You know, we believe, you know, hospitality, you know, should be a place where people feel welcome. You know, where I don't want, you know, I've been to restaurants where you felt like you sort of, oh, am I in the right place? Do I belong here? I want everyone that walks through that door of mine to feel at home, you know, that they're not anxious to be doing the wrong thing. You know, they can just relax. And the whole thing with that big, massive door was about leaving the outside world outside that door. You know, it was a big, heavy door. You walk through it, you just leave everything outside and just forget it for a couple of hours, because once you step into here, I want people to let us treat them for a few hours, you know, before you go back to life. You know, let us take your worries away, just sit there, enjoy your drink, let us bring the food to you, you know, because you know what's going to happen once you go back out that big door. You know, life is just going to pick right back up where you left it, you know. So I just want people to come and enjoy the hospitality, the love that we have for what we do, the food, the wine, the service. And then it's about providing happiness. That's what hospitality is about, you know. And then I think sometimes it gets lost in translation. You know, what we do is provide happiness for people, you know, and it's so important. And the feeling you get when people are enjoying what you're offering, you know, you see it on my team's face when people give them a compliment and thank them for, you know, being a star, the way they've served or the way they've chosen the wine for them, you know. And that's what it's about for us, you know. And as long as we're enjoying it and my team are enjoying it, I think that's how we can manage to bring that to the forefront.
Yeah. And when I left the restaurant, actually, I think I was wobbling out, and you have the best barman, by the way. He was absolutely brilliant. I mean, he could have got us to drink the entire bar that night. It was fabulous.
Adam has a real gift, and every now and then you need to let Callum know at 10 in the morning when he's trying to get me to taste all his cocktails. It's like, Adam, it's not even 10:30 yet, give me a break.
I know, we were like, no, the cab's outside, we've got to go. And he's like, oh, but you're gonna love this. And then I was like, should we just cancel the cab?
You're terrible. I love it. Brilliant.
So speaking of alcohol, you've done a collaboration with Salcombe Gin, with a signature gin called Island Queen, and you have a Mary Champagne on the wine list, which is a collaboration with Duval Leroy. So was it David that triggered the collaboration, as he's a sommelier?
With Duval, yes. David has worked with Duval Loire, you know, many times, but it was actually her story with Madame Duval Loire, but, you know, her story as a really strong woman and how she took over the family business. She lost her husband to cancer. Okay. Very quickly, over a number of months, and she had three young boys to raise at the same time, you know, and she did it while, you know, she had all these men knocking at the door saying, are you ready to sell, just give up, this is not women's work, you know. And she fought through that, and she's at a point now, her three boys, you know, are now managing the family business. And for me, that was just such strength, you know, and I admire that. So of all the champagne houses out there, that's what drew me to working with her. And of course, we went out there and created the champagne ourselves and tasted it, you know, and did all the measures and alcohol and the sugars. everything from scratch. So it wasn't just about, yeah, put my name on a bottle. For me, it's about actually getting involved, meeting the people behind it, and actually creating it properly. You know, it's too easy just to put your name to any old bottle, you know. And even she was surprised with the end result of what we made. She said, this is amazing, you know, and that's such a compliment to be able to impress her. As for Solcombe, they're an amazing brand, you know, a little family that started that, and they reached out to us not long after we opened. And they've been doing a series of chefs, I think one a year. You know, and again, it involved going down, meeting them, and actually, you know, tasting the florals. And I think we had something like 13 that we, you know, we put together, and we slowly narrowed it down until we got the perfect one. Mm-hmm. I like working with people, you know, face to face and understanding what we're doing. It's more personal. I think it gives you a better relationship and understanding to what you're doing. Even down to the olive oil that I work with, a Spanish family. Yeah, you know, we actually went there, met the farmers, you know, tasted the different types of the oils that were made from different families, orchards, just so amazing, you know, and then narrowed it down, I think, to about 4, and then did another tasting, you know, until we picked the perfect one. And funnily enough, the one that I chose ended up being the orchard of one of the family of the old, the original olive oil company that I'm working with Piqualia. You know, it was like one of the uncles, you know, and I picked that completely by blind tasting, you know. So those are the things that I love. I think when if I have to work with something, I really get into it and I want to understand it and sort of really get your hands into it from the beginning.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So when you... When you look back over your time in the industry, what are the things that make you feel most proud?
Oh, my word, that's a good one. You know, the achieving of Mary, the restaurants, you know, we're now coming up to 4 years old. We're a bit more confident in what we do. I've got my key people that, you know, I trust 110% to run it. And seeing their growth throughout the restaurant and the business, we've done it together. That for me is my proudest thing to look back on, is that we've done that together. And I always remember, you know, Chef Alberto, when I was looking at starting the restaurant, you know, he said to me, you won't get any better feeling than being your own boss. You know, and that was even before I'd left. I was just leaving the Gavroche, and I went to have a lunch with him, you know, and he was so right, you know, being your own boss and sort of guiding your team through that with you is such a proud thing to be able to achieve.
Monica, just one last question for you. Tell me something about yourself that I couldn't possibly know.
Something I have quite a handbag and high heel collection.
Wow, really?
I do, yeah. You know, so it's just been sort of sad before this lockdown business that, you know, haven't been able to use a lot of them, but my 13 soon to be 14 year old has been prancing around in my Dior heels, so freaking me out. Like, don't you stay away from them. You know, she's eyeing up my handbag collection saying, can I take these? And it's just like, get away. You know, sort of like need to lock her out of my wardrobe. Yeah.
We did the best thing. So we actually built our home, and on our bedroom door we put a fingerprint.
I know. That's a great thing. That's a great thing, isn't it? Because she's also looking at my jewellery. Yeah. I mean, it's really nice for your daughter to be into it, but not at 13, when you know she's just going to break everything and lose them as well.
Does she have an interest in cooking?
She loves cooking, you know, but it's just fun for her, or when she's hungry. But I, you know, it was important for me to teach her to cook. I just felt like, you know, it's a life skill, isn't it? And I was so proud. I was so proud, actually, when we had just opened the restaurant back up in September. And she sent me a picture, and she had made her own scrambled egg on toast the way I had showed her, you know, how to do them. And it was just a little thing, but I was so proud that, you know, she was just like, look, Mom, I made my own scrambled egg. And I was like, yeah, the result. And it's so nice also, you know, if you feel like having a cake or something, you know, I was going to say, Anais, can you make a cake for us tomorrow while you're at home? And she's like, yeah, you know, and it's so nice that, you know, she can do that too. And then it's been a nice thing, you know, when she gets her girlfriends over and they're in the kitchen making an absolute mess, you know, baking together. So that's a good thing. But who knows, she's very artistic. So, you know, watch this space, I think.
Well, we'll definitely. And Monica, thank you so much for your time today. It's been absolutely wonderful chatting to you.
I'm still thinking about that fingerprint on the door. You should put one on the kitchen.
Idea. Best idea ever.
That's amazing. I love it. But thank you so much for having me with you.
Thank you for giving us your time. Really appreciate it. And guys, if you want to follow Monica, maybe have a look at a shoe collection or bag collection on Instagram. I haven't seen it yet, Mon. Please share.
No, honestly, I never ever show that. I always like, you know, that's like completely different. Only comes out when I go out to dinner or something.
Where do you go for dinner? Where are your favorite places? I didn't even ask you that.
You know, it just depends on who you're with and that, but it's been tough. I went out to Character, Emily Rue's place. I think it's the first place we went to after lockdown. Right. Well, Emily's also my daughter's godmother, you know, so like I would say, when I say they're family, they really are family to us. You know, my daughter loves, you know, on a treat, what is it called? It's just around the corner from you. It's a Balban place where you can, you just create your own. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we can live on those, you know, and then, you know, down the road from me, we've got such a great, you know, selection, but Anais always gets the first pick, and she'll probably head to Rocco or something like that. We'd be tough. Somewhere to go. I think we're very lucky for choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, guys. If you want to follow Monica, she's at Galettigram on Instagram, and I'm at Posh Nosh Gal. Thank you so much, Monica. Take care.
Thank you. Take care now. Bye.